Hey, so you obviously have two new coordinators this year. What did you think of their performance this spring, and what do you hope to get out of them coming forward?
First of all, these guys are really good. They really detailed. The best gift that I believe that they have is not just the X's and O's, it's how they relate to the players. We have a situation now where these kids aren't just coming and desiring to play for me. They want to please their coordinators as well. And I'm happy and I'm elated about that. These guys know how to motivate and use the personnel that they have available. They have exceeded all expectations that I have for them, not just as football guys, X's and O's, but the men that they are. I told a story last night at the clinic that we had for the in-state coaches amongst Colorado. I had to go to the hospital a few weeks back, and I said, guys, I called them in and said, guys, I got to go in. I'll be gone for 2 or 3 days. You guys got to handle it, run it like a darn well-oiled machine. First thing they said is, coach, let me pray for you. That's the kind of men that are standing beside me, and I'm blessed and happy to have them. They have exceeded any expectation I may have had.
Coach, apologize if this is too personal, but you just mentioned you were in the hospital for a procedure. Is everything okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
No?
Clots. Blood clots.
Okay. Sorry.
No, I'm good. That was 3 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago. I'm sorry I didn't tell you guys. I apologize.
My question to you is, obviously, after being able to, or not being able to be here much last summer, how do your plans change this summer?
Tremendously, man. I mean, first of all, knowing what we have and knowing how to develop what we have, it's tremendous. That's something that I know a lot of people don't give us credit for, but it's amazing how some guys come here and you never knew them. But they leave, and not only do they have a name, but they're making money. That means they've been developed tremendously. So I'm proud. I'm really proud of the staff of that. And I think the staff has elevated tremendously. I know the staff has elevated tremendously. I'm still going to be here and hands-on, and especially with the corners. But I love what I'm seeing from everybody, and especially the strength and conditioning guys, even the trainers. They're doing a phenomenal job of getting guys back healthy, along with the doctors that we have on hand. They're doing a great job as well. But as for me, it's different when I'm here. I know you guys might not know because we don't invite you to practice all the time, but everybody inside these doors can tell you it's different when I'm here.
Here, joined by William Gardner. Not the easiest start to this podcast, huh?
Yeah, it's been one thing after another, man. I don't know. At the end of the day, I think it was a operator error by the dumbass with the glasses.
Does he have a fan over his right shoulder?
Might be right, left. Looks like my left. No, I guess my right. Yeah, could be.
Well, you know, it's a good sign that after 15 spring practices, in which you're really trying not to overanalyze, we still have a lot to talk about. We recapped the spring game, the last show. I still feel like we've got a lot of notes from spring ball we need to get out here.
Yeah, I think there's another show after this one to cover, to really get everything covered. And I think not just spring ball, but probably everything that led up to it and transfer portal, whole nine yards, and then where do we go from here is an issue as well.
Exile Rugby 3380 said, raising my glass of lemonade to you both this afternoon.
I hope he's not the only one that stuck around.
Well, we had to restart, so that was unfortunate. But
I bet it was entertaining entertaining viewing watching us looking at each other and trying to hear each other. Hey, people, watch these two idiots on this podcast.
So lemonade, I have not had lemonade in a while. That sounds pretty good. Now that the weather is kind of warming up a little bit, I'll raise a glass of lemonade back to you.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
All right. What did we learn from Colorado's 15 spring practices? You give me 1 point, I'll go back with a point. We'll go back and forth. Just do one at a time.
Okay. I think we got real leaders and leadership on this team. And as a result of that, I think we've got an entirely different chemistry. And I think that they went looking for that in the transfer portal this year, very specifically. Can you play and could you be the kind of person who comes in here and leads and is part of the team and doing things? So I think we have something that we didn't have last year, which is a whole bunch of we're very veteran team at all these positions. And even though some of the stars that came out of this are not that veteran, I think we have a lot of leadership on this team. And I think you can see from the videos that we could see from spring, a lot more camaraderie, togetherness, what have you. They're excited, you know, like Coach Prime said in his thing, it's different when he's in the house and healthy. So I think we got a hell of a lot more leadership than we had last year when we had almost none, quite frankly. And it starts at the quarterback position, where the QB we brought in last year never really did assume the leadership mantle.
Yeah, no, that was on my list, better leadership, more cohesiveness. And what I wrote too was, you can tell that this is a group that has hunger and a love for the game of football. Yeah. Versus collecting checks. And, true leadership is not going to show itself until you hit adversity during the season, but you really like the makeup of this group much better than you did a year ago, for sure. My first point was that, hey, Brian Marion's offense is legit, at least from a creativity standpoint and getting playmakers in space. Now you can overanalyze it. How much of this are they going to be able to grasp? They're going to need Juju or Isaac Wilson to really take the reins of that quarterback position. There are things that need to get fixed offensively, but you can just tell this is going to be a fun offense to watch.
Yeah, and leading off from your final point from the previous thing, I think we need to put right out front that everything we're talking about now can't be proven until we get into real games. You know, we're just looking at what we think we learned from the spring ball. But at the end of the day, we're not going to know if any of it's right or wrong until we get into the season and see how it plays out in the games. But I a whole lot of better chemistry and intensity. And I think people probably went to look at the spring game and think, well, hey, Brandon Marion's offense isn't as electric as we were told. Well, they didn't do anything. First of all, they didn't do anything. Secondly, they've only had 14 practices in the whole offense, so most of the guys are still picking up the basics of it. So now that they've got the basics, they can work on it all summer and get into fall camp and really start to fine-tune and add things to it. But I think this offense is going to be nuts. I saw real signs from both the passing and the run game that this is going to be a super exciting offense.
What's your next takeaway?
I would say one position I was really impressed with was the offensive line. I think we got depth and I think we got talent. And that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to have a good line, because we've all been here for the last 20 years. But I think like the coaches said, you know, they might go 10 or 11 deep. And normally that would be just coach talk, but it's actually true given this particular roster and depth chart. And we got some talent and some guys who have played a lot of football, and it's for those offensive line four of them now coaching, right? I think with the graduate
assistant. The four Gs, yeah.
Yeah, and they got a
Grant, them all Gunner, Giroud, and George. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, it's going to be up to some of those older guys. Demetrius Hunter is the center and fighting for his spot with Sean Kenny and Larry Johnson. And Bo Hewley, some guy who's played at the highest level at college football, to get them all on the same page working together. You know, people say, you know, there wasn't cohesion during the spring game. Well, they were split up into two teams for one thing. And I don't think we even have a clue what the starting five is going to be, because there's going to be a lot of improvement by some guys over the summer and not by other guys. So I think, but I do think we're very deep and got some really good talent on this team, on this offensive line, both young and old.
And, you know, multiple coaches on that O-line staff, and Coach Prime mentioned they feel like they've got 8-9 starters up front. So that is a good sign. Who's really separated themselves? Probably Demetrius Hunter and Bo Hewley at this point.
I wouldn't even give you that, because Demetrius Hunter is still holding off Sean Kenny, and I don't think Sean Kenny is a joke. I think it's a real legit. I think Demetrius Hunter has pulled ahead of him, but I think Kenny is the kind of guy. You know, they brought in all these guys to compete, and I think they vetted them pretty good. And these guys are all fighters, and Sean Kenny ain't gonna go, okay, well, you won, I'm gonna lay down. You know, so. I expect him to come roaring out in fall and make it a battle for Demetrius Hunter, which is good for both of them, you know. And I obviously Demetrius Hunter, with 3 years starting in this conference, is the favorite, and he's got to take on that leadership role. But he certainly, I think, would be he and Bo Hewley and Larry Johnson, I think, are as close to certain. I think, in my view, I'm not sure where they'd be, but.
My next takeaway was that, William, there's going to be a legit quarterback competition in Boulder this summer. We thought maybe Isaac Wilson could come in and apply some pressure. He did that. He did that this spring. And so there's going to be, you know, a lot of competition at that position. Sweetwine, just as an early enrollee, probably needs some time to develop, but he's got a bright future. You've got a nice 2027 verbal commit on, or 28 verbal commit on board with Andre Adams. So you've got a good room there. You do need to add an arm or two for practice purposes. But when you talk about QB1, it's not as clear as we thought it was going to be coming out of spring ball.
And I think some people still think that, and I think they're incorrect, but I think we, Isaac Wilson came in and really made this a battle and showed that he's a competitor too. And I go back to that. They were looking for guys to come in who would fight, not, you know, settle for second place or whatever. And again, it's good for both him and Julian to be competitive against each other. And you got to get better. And, you know, it's going to come down in the end to smaller things, intangibles, who knows more of the offense and knows it better, who can run a huddle, who can make changes on the field and things like that. But either way it goes, you know, man, we're pretty gifted with a backup, whoever which each one is, when we get, you know, run into any injury issues or anything like that.
All right. We got some good questions from the chat. We're going to get into those a little bit later. Keep them coming. We're going to interact with chat as we get later into the show. As we close out this topic, the last thing I had here, William, was that, again, try not to overanalyze. Like, what do we know? What do we learn from spring ball? They're going to play primarily press man again, but they're going to have more coverages. They're going to mix that up a little bit more under Chris Marv, was another takeaway I had from spring ball.
Yeah, and I would add to that, there's going to be aggressive and physical on both sides of the ball. You know, and I think it plays into that more aggressive defense with the press man and such like that. But we saw different things up front. We saw different things in the defensive backfield. We saw some talent there to make things happen. But what you really saw for me, was far more emphasis on every player getting to the ball and angles and things like that, which is basic fundamental football to me, but I don't think was really stressed under the previous coordinator. So, yeah, I think there are going to be significant changes on defense. I think it's going to be a lot better. Some people complain about Marv's tenure at Virginia Tech, but my God, if we had a defense that they're complaining about at Virginia Tech here, we'd be really happy.
Yeah. Yep. Which CU players – did you have any other notes before we go into player-specific topics here?
I would just say that one other thing that kind of stuck out to me is that I think the tight end is actually really going to be a part of this offense based on what we saw in spring. Because we saw, you know, Zach Atkins before he got injured was every single play seemed to have a tight end option, you know. And I think we got some depth in that room suddenly because Fisher Clemens showed some pretty good things. And in the spring game, Corbin Leisure finally proved to me that he's a P4 player, man, because he made some pretty good catches. In that and those tight ends are getting downfield and making big plays. So I'm excited to have this offense is going to use all of the weapons, man, not just the receivers, not just the running backs, not just, you know, but all of them. So that's going to be exciting.
Kind of building off that, you talked about the tight ends. Which CU players do you feel help themselves the most this spring?
Well, I almost couldn't narrow it down. There's so many, frankly. Isaac Wilson, we talked about, obviously really helped him, his position. I think Damian Henderson stepped to the top of the running back position. Well, at least one of the running back positions. I think DeKalen Taylor did pretty well, too. But this actually is going to be kind of funny to say this, but given that this guy was the freaking finalist for the Biletnikoff Award, but Danny Scudero.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
People are taking this dude for granted, and they're like, "Oh, he's too small," and he got all the stats at a lower level, and so being a finalist for the Biletnikoff Award didn't matter because of an asterisk or something like that. Well, I think he's proven them wrong.
Yeah, the first guy on my list was Tyler Martinez. I think we were excited about him, but when we were talking about those three incoming linebacker transfers, he was kind of the third name mentioned in that, right?
Yeah, and I had
now I think he's the first name you mentioned in that group.
What's that?
I think he's the first name you mentioned.
Yeah,
in that group.
Yeah, yeah, because he's absolutely shown, and not only his ability as a linebacker and his leadership out there is showing out too. So I think there's a lot of things people were, you know, some people say, well, he's not fast enough. Well, I think he showed he's fast enough, but more importantly, he reads things quickly and has superb fundamentals and gets to where he's going and is physical, you know. So I think Tyler Martinez ends up coming out of the spring quite surprisingly as the top one of those three, which is no slight on the other two because they did pretty good too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I had Damian Henderson on my list as well. It seems like – would you say he and DeKalen Taylor seem like – the best 1-2 combination, and then maybe you go, if you're going two back sets down from there, maybe a Michael Welsh, Richard Young situation. Yeah.
I mean, this offense is based on two back sets. And so that's the combination I was looking at, bigger, stronger and smaller and faster, which is if you watched previous years of Brennan Marion's offense, that's what he tends to have is, you know, one bruiser and then one really super athletic guy. But what surprised me about Damian Henderson was he does have speed and he can be a breakaway runner, which he's got nice vision. He understands the offense. And so I think he and DeKalen Taylor would be a great match. But then again, Richard Young and DeKalen Taylor would be a great match. You know, and I think one guy we didn't get to see because he was injured was Jaquale Smith, who put 500 yards up in this offense last year.
Yep. I had Elliot Arnold listed on there as well as a place kicker. He's even battling for kickoff duties. They brought Josh McCormick in to handle that. But Elliot Arnold, he's got a leg.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know his name, but then I figured it must be a kicker since I didn't know who he was.
Gosh. Well, he had the range for like a 63-yarder in the spring game. It went a little right. So it doesn't really count if you miss, but he's got a lot of leg strength. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we didn't see enough kicks because those guys kick 100 times in a practice or more, and we didn't see any of those. So, you know, maybe he just missed that one. Who knows? But at least he has the range to at least have a prayer if you need one at that length at some point, you know. Yeah. And I suppose kicker is like any other position. You can improve your accuracy with fundamentals and what have you. I don't know. There's a lot of guys. I think Fisher Clemens and Corbin Leisure, I mentioned the tight end position, helped themselves significantly. You know, Sean Kenny, I think, helped himself a great deal. Chauncey Gooden I was really high on his future. I didn't predict him to be ready. He's ready, man. He's ready.
He's on my list. The other guy I had on my list is Nickelback, Preston Ashley, and early enrollee. Because so Buchholter starts out spring ball at Nickelback, and you've got, you know, guys like Cree Thomas, Justin Eglin on the edge, and some other guys rotating through there. But as spring ball went along, Buchholter started playing more corner. And it sounds like for a lot of these games, it might be matchup dependent. Like if the other team has a stud at the nickelback or slot receiver role, you might put Buchholter at nickelback for that game because he is Colorado's best athlete. But if you got Boo and Free at corner, Preston has made a strong case to be that starting nickelback.
Yeah, I think he you know, and he's not a surprise to us because we both gushed over his films and a lot of those teams. I don't know how the hell you miss him watching his film, because that's the craziest thing I ever saw. Is that, you know, but he's not. Yeah, you know, I think he played himself into there, and I think a couple of other. I think Toby and Nene and Vili Taufatofua really helped themselves at edge, and I would put those two as the two starters if we had to play tomorrow. I think Toby and Nene coming from North Dakota State, you know, he's well coached and fundamentally sound, and he's a big kid who can play the pass rush and the run. You know, at 260, he's going to set the edge, and then Taufatofua, you know, is also a big guy. Was at Utah and some other stops too, and he's got a level of intensity that I love at that edge position.
Yeah, we are going to talk about our biggest surprise from spring ball. Who has the star power on this Colorado squad? We're going to catch up on chat, and then we're going to talk about this CU coaching staff and our thoughts after those 15 spring practices. Some like it hot, but this is next level. Introducing the new Diablo Dusted Chicken Nuggets at Taco Bell. Premium all-white marinated chicken seasoned with bold Mexican spices and tossed in a crunchy tortilla chip coating and dusted with a bold, flavorful Diablo spice seasoning. Served with spicy ranch sauce as well. We're not talking about a little kick. We're talking about that you feel it after the first bite kind of heat. Perfectly crispy, perfectly seasoned, completely unforgettable. So if you're tired of playing it safe and ready to turn things up all the way, these nuggets are made for you. Diablo Dusted Chicken Nuggets, only at Taco Bell. Live Moss. We're going to test that digestive system of yours with some Diablo sauce today, William.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going there, man. You know,
what are you ordering from Taco Bell? Because I'm gonna send you some money. You're gonna get a DoorDash today. What do you want?
I like the beefy. I get the same five things. I'm pretty predictable. I don't go too much. Beefy five layer burrito, gordita, loco gordita, gordita taco crunch, whatever the hell it is, and
cheesy gordita crunch.
Yeah, with the taco, with the nacho cheese taco. I can't remember. I always get the chicken quesadillas and the can't remember the fourth one. It'll come to me. Okay. Well, you're asking me all these questions, man. You got to remember, I'm the dumbass that couldn't tell a C from an E to get into the dark room this earlier. So, you know, you can't spring things on me.
Well, I know our teenagers love trying this new stuff that Taco Bell keeps putting out there. Who is your biggest surprise from Colorado spring practices?
Well, I think we mentioned Tyler Martinez. He'd be one, but I think the one guy we haven't mentioned yet is Nathan Mitchell, who was all over the place and around the ball. And I think I also had Danny Scudero listed, which is not a surprise to me, but I think is a big surprise to a lot of people, because I imagine they were like, you know, like I said earlier, he played against lesser competition, but now you see why he was such a good receiver at that level. So those are the three names that come to my mind. And, one more true freshman, Maurice Williams.
Yeah. I said Quincy Wiggins, your guy.
Yeah.
Because we were kind of worried about the fact that he had to stay a defensive tackle, but he put on a lot of good weight. And so he actually fits in there. They're still thin as heck in the interior of that defensive line.
Well, him,
had Quincy not stepped up,
yeah,
I mean, we'd be freaking out right now.
Well, he, you know, he's got that big, long, tall frame, and he's got 300 pounds on it now, roughly, you know, and it's not just fat guy weight. It's actually, and he showed he's still got that explosiveness and athleticism. So he really stepped up and alleviated some of the concern. I think we still need a couple of bodies in there. You know, and along those lines, while we're mentioning it in the spring game, the guy who surprised me was Samu, big Samu. I'm not going to try this one. Talmana Pepe, I think. He was stout as hell at the nose. You know, I mean, he's not going to play a bunch of downs at that weight. He needs to fix that, you know, trim that down a little bit. But, man, you know, he's a dude you can stick on the nose on first down and he's not getting moved.
Yeah. Who has the star power on this squad coming out of spring ball? On my list, you mentioned just a couple of these guys recently. I had Danny Scudero, number one on my list. Nate Mitchell is high up on my list. Boo Carter, he's doing what he needs to do so far. And he's a crazy athlete.
Yeah, he's showing. I think he is going to have a and everybody don't screech at me about this. He's gonna be the Travis Hunter type of a guy. And I'm not saying he's Travis Hunter because nobody's Travis Hunter, but he's a guy that can go both ways and can do everything and is going to make some ridiculous plays because he's got that kind of crazy talent and athletic ability.
Who else you got on your star list?
I said rooms, man, because, you know, some of these, like the running back room in this offense, I think is going to be a star. I think the offensive line room is going to be a star. I don't know which ones they're going to be. But more specifically, I think Zach Atkins has star power given the way they're using the tight end. I think Santana Hopper showed what he's about. I think people were worried about him at 270 or so being too little, but I showed him what I think he can showed what he's going to do. Randon Fontanette just owned the spring game. However, they're going to use him.
Yeah. I also had cornerback Cree Thomas.
I had him on my list too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I went with DeKalen Taylor if I had to pick a back because if he stays healthy, he's a guy that can really make some big plays this coming season. These guys were hurt this spring, but DeAndre Moore Jr. and Joseph Williams, they've got star power. Of course, punter Damon Greaves has a lot of star power as well.
And I'd say again, we didn't really talk about him, even though I mentioned him. Nathan Mitchell was just, he's not the biggest guy ever, but man, he just ends up at the ball more times than you would expect. You know, I think Toby Anene is going to be a star. I think he's just got everything. I think Toby Anene is an NFL guy. I don't know if he'll get drafted or not, but he's got the body and. You know, did what he did at North Dakota State. We all know that they play really good teams. And so that's another one that is on my list.
Okay. Anybody else there?
I think that's all I got. I think all three of those senior linebackers had the potential to be stars. I really think at that linebacker spot, we love Tyler Martinez this spring, but I think Gideon Lanfran and Leona Leafau are just vicious competitors, man. And you know, they're going to push to be just as good. I just love the makeup of some of the guys that they brought on this team from the portal. It's not always how fast you run the 40 or, you know, whatever. These guys get heart, man. Now, we're still thin as hell. They got to take those three freshmen and really get them up to speed, man. You know, because you're not going to go injury-free at the linebacker spot.
Yeah. We got a question from Trevor Bach. Broch, 9436. How many scholarships are left on the team besides quarterback? What position group does CU need to add in the summer? So I don't really actually think you're going to be adding a scholarship quarterback necessarily, maybe, but you need a talented walk on our two for practice purposes, because your top three are really solid at that position. And in this NIL era, when you can get three quality quarterbacks on the same roster, it's about as good as you're going to do. You're not going to – you could be able to hoard those guys for very long.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot of guys that you know, they still want to play the game even if they're not going to get in on Saturdays, and they can run the scout team and whatever and show they, you know, it's hard to walk away from the game, especially at that age. So I don't think they'll have a problem finding a couple guys, but we'll see. And the position group is defensive tackle. I mean, next.
You know. Yep. They are at 83 scholarships right now. There could be some attrition going out too. Not a ton. It's definitely calmer this time of year than it has been any of the previous three off seasons under Coach Prime. I mean, this was the time when it was portal madness 2.0 every off season. You don't have to go through that this year.
While we're on Trevor's thing, Trevor had another question about will the defense be as good as 24, particularly in the pass rush? I don't know about in the pass rush, but I think overall it'll be as good as 24, if not better. Will we lead the Big 12 in sacks? That remains to be seen. I think we're going to have a different approach to the game. I think we're going to be more aggressive. I also think we're going to be going back to more, you know, like cornerback and safety blitzes, nickel blitzes. But I don't know that anybody separated themselves in spring ball as a pure pass rusher. I don't know, maybe AZ Ogu a little bit, Lamont Lester, but I think we're going to have a pretty good defense. And quite frankly, a pretty good defense, you know, if our offense lives up to expectations, you know, you don't have to have a great defense. You just got to be able to stop them every now and then.
You ready to open up the checkbook there, William?
Yeah.
Dan O underscore Sco says, any truth to the rumor that you two were going to match the Crawford donation, which was a $6 million gift coming here in the next 3 years?
Adam and I have stepped up, and we're going to match that at 0.01%.
Just good. I'm trying to make mortgage payments here, William.
Yeah, that's like you know, hey, why do you ask rich people for money? Because they're the ones that got it. I'm just
Broken up in the wrong tree is what you're trying to say, right?
I'm saving my pennies to go, you know, eat off the bargain menu at Taco Bell, man.
All the man wants is a cheesy gordita crunch, right? To be able to pay his bills, you know. All right, go ahead.
No, and I was going to say, and two CU bowl games in a row would be nice, but, you know.
Oh, man. I did an interview on a podcast with our Arizona State guy this morning, and just, like, to say it out loud that it's been since 04, 05 since they've been to back-to-back bowl games.
Yeah, it's nuts. And, yeah, it's crazy. And it's not that hard. Six wins, my God. It's not, you know, holy crap. Unbelievable.
That's what I was telling him. It's like you want to build off one of these seasons one of these times. And it's hard to, like, blame the fans for being apathetic, because it's been a really rough journey. It really has.
Yeah. And, you know, I think hopefully what I'm seeing on this roster, I think this is a bowl game roster. You know, I think this is a bowl game staff. You know, and if we get there, like you said, we got to really build on it and improve on it. You know, I think, I don't know, this is a random thought, I guess, but it's on in line with this. You know, what I've learned, I think, is in the portal era, man, you got to open a checkbook for some defensive tackles, because there ain't a bunch of them out there, and you got to do what it takes to get them. You know, and if you got the quarterback, and we got the quarterback for the next couple of years, and toward two of them, you know. It's a possibility, you know.
Yeah. Before we get into the coaching staff, we're going to hear from our other sponsors here on Buff Stampede Radio.
Is your business growing but not quite ready for a full-time CFO? Macaulay Capital offers fractional CFO services for companies doing more than $3 million in annual revenue. You get expert financial leadership without the full cost. Learn more about how you can improve your business's profitability and cash management at MacaulayCapital.com. If you know Boulder, you know the Hungry Toad. We've been serving this town since 1991, long before the lines on Pearl Street. Just north of campus, we're your local British pub with proper fish and chips, quality burgers, a scratch kitchen, real English cask ale, and no tourist fluff. We support CU football, women's soccer, and the loyal fans who keep it local. The Hungry Toad, Boulder born, Buffs proud.
All right, welcome back into the show. You wanted to talk about the CU's coaching staff, and I thought that's a good idea. As I thought about it, though, I was like, I want to kind of temper some of these thoughts because it's spring ball, you know?
Yeah, but yeah, there's a couple of messages on the board that I wanted to touch on that I hit some stuff as well, but I'm not sure what do you want to do about the coaching staff? You don't want to talk about it?
No, let's do it. Let me throw something in here that I don't think we've discussed. I don't think it's been really discussed many places is the fact that Clancy Pendergrass is on staff. And that's a pretty big deal. I mean, this is a guy that had long defensive coordinator stints at USC and Cal, coached at UCLA for a while. Some really good stuff in his career. With any DC, you're going to see some of the bad too. Having him in that staff room, I think, is really beneficial for this team.
You know, Von Bell's another one, and that's the word. That's the place where you bring in guys like this as analysts and such to help out different spots. So I think that all matters. But overall, I think there are a few messages in the chat I want to chat about at some point. But I think this is the best staff that we've seen under Coach Prime by far, and I think these are the two best offensive coordinators we've had by far, and offensive and defensive coordinators, with lots of experience at the college level. And Marion has his own offense, and I just think that the leadership from this coaching staff and the way they're dealing with the players and dealing with each other is superb from what I've seen so far.
Yeah. Again, it's like the proof is in the pudding with an apathetic fan base. But I would say there were only encouraging signs we saw. You can tell the staff is a lot closer than last year's.
Yeah, and I think more professional in many ways. And I think that, the fact, like Coach Prime said, having him in the building makes a big difference. And I think, quite frankly, his staff, the old saying, when the cat's away, the mice will play. I think his assistant coaching staff let him down, let the whole program down when he was going through all that stuff. And I don't know the insides and outs. I don't know if there was info or whatever, but somebody needed to take charge. And I think having Coach Prime around this fall, this spring, and he looks like a different guy to me this year. He seems to have that enthusiasm and intensity back. And I think he's got something to prove. Got some fire in the belly, and I think we're going to see a different head coach Prime this year and sticking around through the summer most of the time. And he said, I'm going to go fishing. I don't know why you don't invite me, coach. I'm a good fisherman.
Well, you got to make your way down to Texas.
I'll do it. You're not going to fly me on the jet? What the heck? But
I like his process with fishing, though. He's like, I catch fish. I don't go fishing, because he's got Lake Prime and Lake Time, and those things are stocked up. And yeah, that's a fun way to go about it.
I need to take him up to northern Minnesota, man. I think he'd like that.
Okay. I think that's probably going to be too cold for Coach Prime.
Not in the middle of summer, man.
Or
late spring, I think, is the best time, frankly. But, getting back to the coaching staff, I was very impressed with Andre Giraud and how he's working with the centers. And I know there's four offensive line coaches, and they're breaking it all up significantly. But he brings a credibility, and Hageman, too, frankly, for that matter, 10 years in the NFL as well. But Giraud just sort of he ended up being the guy in front of the camera for them a few times. I don't know if that's you know, they did it on purpose or what, but I thought he was doing a great job. I thought that the addition of Josh Niblett was outstanding, and I think it shows already in the tight ends and how they're playing. And it's always fun to watch the videos, and George Hilo always looked like he got his hair on fire, running in, screaming, yelling, pointing.
He's pretty passionate. Yeah.
Yeah. And you need that fire, you know, not shooting off in crazy directions, but just to get people fired up, you know. And they say the same thing about Dante Carter. I didn't really see much of him out there. I'm sure he was out there, just didn't.
Oh, he was out there. He's very vocal. Yeah, yeah. He makes up for his lack of size with his booming voice in practice. And it's, yeah, you need that energy defensively, especially.
Right, you got to
play. You can't have every defensive coach that's completely cerebral. You're not going to field a good football team.
Yeah, you got to have that guy that fires them up and gets them motivated and whatever, you know. And you know, there are some guys, you know, Nate Landman goes on the field, plays at 120% with his hair on fire all the time. Doesn't mean anything like that. But, you know, other guys do. You know, nothing wrong with those dudes. It's just human nature that some guys got to be fired up and pushed or whatever. But I like this staff. The other thing I like is that I think we got coordinators are going to hold their assistants accountable for their positions, you know. And I don't think the last two coordinators did at all. I think they had a hands off with their assistant coaches. But Brennan Marion, man, you're going to do your position, better do what it's supposed to do, or you're going to find out about it, you know. And I think Chris Marv is a different sort of approach to it, and has more of a, works with them a little. I don't know, not that Marion doesn't work with his guys, but I think that assistant coaches are going to be expected to have their positions doing things right. And I think Chris Marv's input on the linebackers showed immediately to me.
Yeah. So I did my first spring ball, post-spring ball. Where is it at? There it is. My first post-spring ball position overview. Dealt with the Colorado receivers, broke down by eligibility, and you know, kind of a breakdown of everything following that. We're going to do a position overview for every position as we go through the next couple weeks. Any takeaways? Did you get a chance to read that story I did on the receivers?
Yeah, you know, and I think one of the things that's important to notice, to remind people, is that we had three of the top guys in that room, and the three biggest guys didn't even practice this spring because they're rehabbing injuries. And so on top of what we saw this spring from that wide receiver room, you know, we're adding, which also almost like adding three starters to it, you know, what we are, frankly. And it's going to be exciting to add those guys to the, you know, to that mix and have some size advantages and things of that nature. So I think that's great.
Yeah. Definitely. Anything else? What in chat did you want to touch on?
Well, I want to say first, do you want me to do the offensive lineman for that?
Yeah, I would love that.
All right, I'll do it.
Okay.
Yeah, several comments in here. You know, I'm going to start from the bottom here. Exile Rugby said the most disappointing part of last season. He says more creativity and accountability for the staff this year. Which to me is, there was less accountability last year. And there is no doubt in my mind that the assistant coaches were not held accountable at all for their positions. And now they are. And like he says about creativity, that comes with the two coordinators who both understand the game at this level, you know, and have tried different things and seen different things. And Brendan Marion has worked his offense out, you know, almost to a science at this point. So that's exciting to me too. And I think it makes a big difference because coaching matters. Another one on here was Ryan Turner, 3102, said, don't discount the nutrition a lot of these guys are getting now in their development. And I would expand that to say not only nutrition, but strength and conditioning, because a lot of these guys coming from the lower levels, they often don't get the same level of nutrition and S&C work at some of those lower level schools than they're going to get here. So that's going to help some of them improve as well. So that's, I think that's a good point to make.
Northside underscore Roger said we need another cornerback and linebacker. You're good at corner. You got 83 scholarships. Linebacker maybe, but like there's no spring transfer window. So you're probably going to be only bringing in a depth piece if you do that.
Yeah.
I would rather use any scholarships at this point for any serviceable person that could be part of that defensive tackle rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of the defensive tackles that they got to find. You know, it's like somebody on one of the boards recently said, just get the big bodies in there, you know, and let the coaches do it as best they can with them. You just got to have depth. You know, you don't necessarily got to get a great starter. You're not going to find that now at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, different this year. Do you like this better or worse than did you like the spring transfer window?
Yeah, with no. I think it sucked. You know, it's like you can't you go all through spring practice and then you lose dudes. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And then they're leaving in the middle of spring ball. It was awful. Yeah, I hated it.
Yeah, and you can't, you know, it's like you do all this work and then it's wasted at certain positions, you know?
Yeah.
It's because dudes leave and so having only one of them is much better, I think.
Yeah.
You know.
Any other final thoughts here, William, before we close out the show?
I think somebody in the chat, 2 days slow, maybe said their skill players are there for the go-go off. That's for sure. I think that Brendan Marion's got to be salivating with some of the guys he's got for skill position players at this team. And I think all the skill positions on offense are going to get used and used correctly and well.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to come back next week with a new Buff Stampede Radio, and we'll have some more positions to overview, and we'll continue chatting with the chat, and we're going to preview some of the official visitors that are about to come out to Boulder, because that list is growing pretty strong at this point.
And next week, you and I will connect 15 minutes early to make sure my dumb ass has got everything working.
Sounds good. Well, I appreciate you, William, and I appreciate everybody out there for tuning in.